I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors to order, please. Will you all rise and join me in the pledge of allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you, Carol. Public comments. This is the time when we open the meeting to anyone in the public that has something that they would like to address the board on that's not an agendized item. We try to keep it to 3 minutes. And so at this time, I would invite anybody in the public that has anything they'd like to comment on to please come forward. Yes, sir.
Good evening, Jerry Mahaney. I live on Discovery Bay Boulevard. Just a couple issues. This old fire station over here, our local grounds crews keep all our equipment and stuff in there. The front of it looks terrible. I mean, you would think that a grounds crew would be able to take care of a building like that or just right out in front. So I just was wondering if maybe that's not part of their lease or their whatever it was. Second thing is, I haven't seen hardly any improvement on the speed on Discovery Bay Boulevard from all the way down there. And it's just, they come in at 40, it's perfect, because I mean, everybody that I follow comes in at 40. They keep going 40 all the way down. So I don't know whether there's not enough officer presence around here, or they're not writing enough tickets, or just exactly what, but it's just the same as it's been for the last year. And I don't really know what to say about it.
Well, no, I appreciate you bringing it up, and it's a good night to do it because we have good representation here tonight, so your words didn't fall on deaf ears.
Well, no, I know. I mean, that's why I'm down on the first Monday.
I appreciate it.
I'm supposed to be here, so.
Appreciate the comments, and we will definitely let the people that need to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Consent calendar.
Move approval of consent calendar.
Second.
Yeah, it's been moved and second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Area agency reports.
I don't see anyone here from Supervisor Burgess's office.
Okay, sheriff's report.
Hello.
Hello. For those of you who don't, I'll introduce myself, but Lieutenant Matt Fuller of the Sheriff's Office. My first official meeting with you. So bear with me as I go through these numbers. We had 671 calls for service during the month of August. 35 reports ranging from we had a hazardous marine hazard removed, drug possession, violation of restraining orders, violation of probation, a runaway, towed vehicle, found properties, suspicious circumstances, some civil matters that the deputies discussed with some of the residents, warrant arrest, had a robbery down at the CVS store where they broke a display case and stole some perfume. So that was a robbery. Some domestic issues, two residential burglaries, grand theft, two identity thefts, and some vandalisms. So those are detailed in your report. I do have some of those available to the citizens at large if they need them. Selected crimes were down one. Numbers are running somewhat consistent from the prior months at 9 for June. July was 10 and 9 for August. No burglary or outbirds, two residential burglaries, as I mentioned, and there was a violation of domestic order. The officers as a whole, which all three of them are here, the officer and the CSO, they had a total calls for service for them specifically was 583. They had self-initiated 390 calls, and then they had a total of 110 sites. I'm going to give us some detail on that, but that's it from the sheriff's office.
Any questions for the sheriff's board? No, I do want to mention the fact that the Sheriff's Department, you guys had a neighborhood watch meeting over at...
Yes, we did.
Over at Ravenswood that I attended with you guys, basically because there was some vandalism over there and the neighbors were concerned. It went great. The officers were there. The lieutenant was there. Tony was there. The dogs were well represented there. And we talked with the residents in the area. They have a really good bunch of folks that are concerned about their neighborhood over there. So I think it was successful.
Yeah.
And I believe they're going to be watching out for each other. And reiterated that make the phone call. If you have any questions, just make the phone call. So thank you again for doing that. Appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public for the Sheriff's Department? Okay. Oh, yes, sir.
What was the number of citations there for speeding and stuff like that?
For speeding specifically? Let me take a look.
I mean, Nat's talking on the cell phone when you're driving and dogs on your lap. And...
But unfortunately, dogs on the lap is not a...
Hey, sexual. If my dog was on the lap, it'd be a citation of why.
The sights are not broken. Well, let me see here. I'd have to.
I'll tell you what. Take a look at it, and
we can talk outside.
There you go.
Let's total. I'll just give you gross numbers for the station as a whole, real quick. 16 movers, moving violations, and 15 non-movers, which are like equipment violations, registration. 10 on windows, no front plate. So 16 for the station level.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
CHP.
Hello, Board.
Good evening.
Officer Thomas with the High Patrol. The activity we had out here last month, arrest-wise, we had, so I'm going to break it down into two groups. It'll be the Discovery Bay right in this area, and then it'll be the surrounding area, like the Highway 4. So Discovery Bay out here, we had 2 DUI arrests, and the surrounding area had 5 DUI arrests, and then there was 1 arrest for a driving on suspended license in Discovery Bay, and then the surrounding area there was 1 arrest for driving without an intoximeter in the vehicle. Citation wise, in Discovery Bay here there was 11 for speed. The area outside there was 13 for speed. Discovery Bay, 2 stop sign violations, 1 stop sign violation outside. The wrong side of the road, 1 in Discovery Bay. Rules of the road, other rules of the road, there's 2 in the surrounding area. In Discovery Bay, registration citations, 4. Outside of Discovery Bay, there was 8 for registration. 3 other in Discovery Bay, which would be like cell phone, and then there was 3 inside Discovery Bay here. In the surrounding area, there was 6. Inside Discovery Bay, there's 3 seatbelt violations. Discovery Bay, 1 equipment violation, which would be like tinted windows, and then 1 in the surrounding area. And then following too close in Discovery Bay, 1 citation. That's the activity we had last month. So we have a new reporting system, so we'll see what it looks like next month. Some of these numbers look a little off to me. So we'll see what we do. You guys have any questions?
No, it was good. You gave a lot more detail of Discovery Bay outside. Thank you. That was good.
Appreciate that. Appreciate your guys' presence. I've noticed you here on many different, whatever reason, I've noticed you guys' cars here more often. At least maybe it's because I'm around more often. I don't know. But appreciate your visibility. I saw one of your white Crown Vicks drive down through town yesterday.
Yeah.
So appreciate that. Any questions from the public for the Highway Patrol? Okay, thank you very much, Officer Thomas.
Yeah, this month I've been driving around and then you should start seeing a white SUV.
Okay.
In the morning.
Are you driving the Crown Vic? You're not driving the Crown Vic.
The Crown Vic.
Oh, is that you? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw you yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday here, I think today I stopped 7 people. All were people that live pretty close to their homes, right there, locals. You know, and then 1 was out of town when I get the ticket to. But yeah, you should start seeing them in kind of 8 an hour, so hopefully you start seeing them. So.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's bring the River Otters up. Who's got that presentation? Max? Let's bring Rick and his gang.
Yep, I was going to say, I'm going to have some representatives from the River Otters up here tonight, tell you about their season.
Doc, I'm Pierce, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you very much for hosting us here this evening.
Kids, why don't you come forward and kind of just spread out a little bit so we can see all of you? How's that sound? Just don't worry about standing in front of these other people here. There you go.
So these are a few of our 109 rear riders we had this year. It was our fifth season. We had a very successful season. It was our second season in the Mid Valley Swim League, which is a swim league that includes us, Tracy, Rippin, Manteca, Modesto, and Turlock. So out of the six teams, we actually have the smallest team of all the teams in the league, and we wound up placing fourth at the league championships.
Congratulations.
So we did very well, good representation there. The kids all had a lot of fun. We do a lot of emphasis on the social aspect. It's not a year-round swim team, it's summer league, so we want the kids to fall in love with the sport. If they want to continue year-round, there's the Brentwood Sea Wolves, and there's other year-round teams that they could go ahead and pursue that. But this is more about fall in love with the sport, have some fun, some community pride, and this was our, like I said, the end of our fifth year, and we had yet another great year. And I'd like to present the town with, hand it over to Mac right now, or
get him up and down, let's get him up.
Hand it on over to the town for the support that you guys continue to give us with the pool, and
I'll hype it out of the kids here. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. And I really do appreciate what you do and the effort you guys put forward. Did you guys have fun?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, you guys just got to thank for it, right?
All right. So we have a lot of other people on the board, a lot of volunteers. It is a sport that you just don't go and set up your lawn chair and watch your child participate in. It's very interactive. It takes many, many parents to put on a swim meet. So it is a good family activity. Again, we thank the town for their support. I'm glad to have this community center, glad to have the pool. I know there's a lot of talks about being small, but we make the most of it that we can, and we appreciate the pool that we have, and we thank you guys for it. You guys have any questions?
Yeah. You said you were the smallest. Well, that means quantity.
Quantity, numbers-wise.
What are you at now?
Well, this year we were at 109, so we usually hover between 110 and 115. It's about 115 is about the max that we can handle.
Because of the size.
That's the size of the pool. It's a 3.5-lane pool. Most teams are dealing with 8-lane pools.
Sure.
So they can accommodate a lot more kids. Where we basically each practice has to go back to back to back to back rather than have a couple different practice groups at the same time.
Knowing what you've had, and I think you have a good showing when the assignments come, how many do you have an estimate on how many you think you could get in?
I mean, if we had a large enough pool, let's say there was a 8 or 12 lane pool, I mean, I don't see why within, 2, 3, 4 years we could be up to 175, maybe 200, having a larger facility.
The other teams that you compete against, there are larger areas population-wise.
Right.
We're kind of isolated out here.
Right.
What are their numbers like?
What do you compete against? Actually, Brooke might have the best numbers because you run all the numbers a lot.
So you're
walking more over 200.
Almost double what you guys is who you're competing against, huh?
Over.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're holding our own,
well,
all things considered.
Right. And based on the geographical situation here, how we're kind of isolated, you're going to cap at a certain point anyway, because the numbers just are going to be like that.
Correct. But I also think, it's one of those, it's like anything, sports teams and I think if you put out a good product, I think we would draw from Brentwood and Oakley. I mean, we have some Brentwood and Oakley residents, and if you put out a good product and good coaching, you have a good reputation. But we kind of have a reputation right now, which it is what it is, people don't want to be on our waiting list. They say, oh, you're not on the River Riders, no, you're not going to get on. It's one of those things that we had, I think we opened up, our returning swimmers are guaranteed a spot. So anyone that's swam the previous year is guaranteed a spot the following year. That being said, we had, I think, 110 swimmers last year. We had 89 return. So that doesn't really leave too many open spots for new families, new swimmers. So it's kind of like turned into a little bit of a tough club to kind of get into, and it gives us, I don't want to say a bad reputation, but it's...
Well, it's a good news, bad news thing. It's a good news that they want to come back, but it's bad news that there's not enough slots. Right. And I think that we all would love to be able to tell you, hey, we can get you 200 slots for 200 swimmers, but that's just not...
That's why I'm saying we appreciate what we have. You know, and it's...
Thank you for that.
The more money, more problems. You have more pool, more problems. You know. So appreciate what we have. I enjoy what we have, and let's just take it for appreciate it for what it is right now. And maybe someday down the road, we can not just do a whole pool, but a whole community center. I don't think the pool should be the main focus. It should be the entire community center.
Well, we thank you for that. And thank you for your hard work, Rick. You've been really devoted to this, and we really appreciate it. Chris, go ahead.
Do you have swimmers that have started from your first year, or do you have 5 year swimmers? Oh, there you go. All right. Wow.
So we had we actually this year we gave out little pins to, I believe we had 15 swimmers that have swum with us all 5 years. Charter members, you know, we have some of them that have swum 4 years now. And, you know, I think Quinn was a four year swimmer. I think you guys are probably around 4 years. So we had some of them that are right around that, or they took a year off and they came back and so on and so forth. So we have a very good return rate because, like I said, we had 89 out of 110 returns. So that's good, but it doesn't leave very much open when it comes to open spots. But like you said, it's pros and cons to everything. It's not a perfect world, and you just appreciate what you have.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Good job,
thank you.
Okay, G1.
Okay, this item concerns the hiring of consulting services of Harrison Associates to conduct a review of all 5 of the lighting and landscape zones in Discovery Bay in order to develop a strategy alternatives that will help us improve efficiency and service delivery to our community at large. Now, since agendizing this item, I've learned that a representative from Harrison and Associates can be at our next regular board meeting where we can question them in depth about the scope of work that they've proposed. So I would suggest tabling this and bringing it back next board meeting.
Is this Greg and Harris?
No.
I didn't think so.
Okay.
No, it's a different Harris. I just wanted to clarify that.
Right.
So your recommendation is at this point?
Recommendation that we table this till next meeting where we can have a representative from the company here and you can ask questions directly to the consultant.
Yeah, I move staff recommendation.
Yeah.
Second.
Good. All those in favor? Any discussion from the public?
Table.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much for that. I am going to turn this meeting over to Vice President Bill at this point. Because I live there, so I'm going to step down for the day. One second.
Okay, last time we did this, you talked a lot.
You can't talk.
I did?
Yes.
Where'd I talk? Not here?
Okay. So, staff.
Well, I can talk. I just can't talk.
He's already talking. I haven't even sat down.
On June 16, 2018, staff brought before this board the issue of an ownership defect over the sanitation facilities located at one of 3 tracks at the Harbor Bay Condominiums, aka the Blue Roofs. Research indicated that ownership of all 3 tracks were intended to be turned over to Sanitation District 19 by the Board of Supervisors on December 12, 1989. But due to an apparent administrative oversight, track number 6274 was inadvertently excluded from their paperwork. The Harbor Bay Condominium Association has requested that the town acquire the ownership and maintenance responsibilities of that 3rd track, the same as we've been doing with the other 2 tracks. At that last meeting, the board directed us to investigate and assess the condition of the facilities, and we have done so, and we consider the conditions to be acceptable. Staff recommends that the general manager be directed to work with legal counsel to acquire ownership of the sanitation facilities at track number 6274 and be authorized to execute all documents in furtherance thereof.
The
clarifying questions for the board?
I just want to hear it verbally from our operations manager that everything he looked at was fantastic. I've got a written report here.
Bernie, have you got a memory, Bernie?
Yes. Yes, we did go out and view the sewer lines. We flushed them, checked all the manholes. Besides the two small sags, we seen no issue with the sewer line whatsoever. Just the edge of them, and they look great. We flushed them, they flow great. No major faults.
So no extra maintenance involved on your hands?
No, that's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Any public comment? Okay, we'll close the public comment. Discussion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Pass.
Thanks, Bill. Item three, staff.
Brian, come on up. Talk about the dog.
Good evening.
Hey, Brian.
I'm here to talk about the existing dog park. We've got a few requests, a few complaints, a wish list of things that the public would like done back there. One of them is the entryway. We've taken care of the money issue now, but as soon as it starts raining, it will come back. What we'd like to do is put in a concrete pad to come in and connect it to the existing walkway. And then as far as the usage of the park, we're probably going to have to close it down to do some renovation work back there. It's been open for 3 years. It's been used a lot. There's areas that were irrigated but not really renovated and planted for lawn. And what happens on the east side, the upper side where the picnic table is towards the main office, weeds grow, cattails come out, and we get a lot of complaints about that because they can go up into the dogs' noses and lead to vet bills. A minimum we'd like to do is put up a temporary fence for that area soon and kill off the weeds, get some pre-emergent in there, grow the next crop of weeds, kill that off, and then probably seed it in the springtime. But we would leave that area closed off for the winter. The small dog park has an area that throws nothing but burrs in it and gets into the feet of the dog. So we need to take care of that. We could actually take care of the small dog park. We can close that off, leave the larger park open, and do the small park, the upper part of the large park. When those are ready to open back up, we can come in and close off what's the remaining area of the large dog park and take care of that. We can do all that in-house except for the concrete work for a fairly reasonable price. The deluxe idea, people want the asphalt removed. We did get a price to remove the asphalt. Just the asphalt alone is $5,000. You've got AV underneath that, aggregate base, that's probably another $5,000. And then you're gonna have to repair whatever concrete damage is done, getting all that material out. And then you've got to bring 100 to 150 yards of material back in to fill the void, install sprinklers. There's no power back there, so we'll have to run power from the shed over here at the pool out to the dog park, either low voltage wires or new sprinkler valves or 110 power for a timer out there. So the deluxe package, you're looking at about $35,000 to $40,000. Another idea I looked into was dog-friendly AstroTurf on the existing asphalt, but that's $56,000, so that's way out. You know. And the best idea is probably, for now, renovate the existing lawns. I don't know if you want to get into spending the $15,000 to $25,000 on removing the asphalt and replacing that. So that's something we need to discuss. There probably is money in the community center fund that would cover that. There isn't in the Sony budget to cover that cost.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, going to ask.
Is there any public comment? I don't think there's any. Brian, do you have anything on that?
I would just say, if you guys spend the money, spend all the money. Do it right. Just do it right the first time. Whatever you guys decide on doing.
Okay. Thank you.
That's my
Bill.
Who did we get our quote for removing the asphalt?
JW Backhoe.
I think they're an excellent company. They've worked with us for lots of different things, diverse situations. They just did a good job on installing the meter program. I'm wondering if they were approached, see if they would be interested in in-kind work, and maybe do a little give back, see if they could look at that, and see if they might be able to donate that back to the community center as a community project, and maybe we can put, you know, their name or their plaque or something like that. Give them recognition for doing it to help us keep the cost down.
Virgil, would you like to comment on that? I will take that forward. I'll run that up the flag pole.
Yeah, I think that'd be a win-win-win for everybody if they're interested in doing that. Thank you.
Has this gone before the?
We have comment from the.
Okay.
I just wanted to comment on that. In-kind work is something that we have to look at because this is a construction project and it's considered a public work. It's subject to prevailing wage. In addition, because the cost of the project will exceed $25,000 pursuant to the public contract code as well as your own board policies, it's required to go out for competitive bidding.
Let me ask this. Just removing the asphalt was less than $25,000. So if somebody wanted to volunteer to do that, that's an issue?
We'd have to look at it as a potential maintenance issue or a donation from a private citizen to remove that, but we would want to make sure that there were no issues involved with the donation of time and the removal of the overall asphalt. In addition, though, if the board were to proceed with the artificial turf or the more extensive project, we would have to lump that all together as one larger project, so then it would still fall within the scope of competitive bidding.
Yeah, I personally don't see us having funding to do a $30,000 project or a $56,000 project, so I'm not worried about that.
Well, we need to do something out there. There's a contingency within town that supports the dog park. They're pretty loyal people. They're regulars. I don't have to be one of them, but we do need to upgrade it. We need to deal with the low spots, whatever grading needs to be done, leveling it out, get rid of those burrs. We have some maintenance that needs to be done there. My question is did this go to committee before it came here, or did this come straight here?
No, it was discussed, but we didn't have any details. The need to make it happen was discussed, and we suggested.
So we all agree on that? That's a recommendation?
Yeah, it's a recommendation that needs to be done.
Okay.
How to do it, when to fund it, and all that, we couldn't make any kind of decision on that. Can I make a suggestion that if we would have legal, number one, if we talk to JW and see if they're interested. If they're interested, great. Get with the legal aspect of it and see if there's any issues. If there's issues, then you know, we can't do anything about that. And then after that discussion, bring it back to the board for, you know, a future time.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
I agree with Director Peace. But is there a possibility that we could proceed with fencing off that area, killing off the weeds, get all that stuff done? Because that seems like force account work that we could do internally for.
Yeah, I would like to do that, because yeah. Even if they do end up removing the asphalt, it's right. Not going to affect that area.
So then we could come back at a later date, maybe the next meeting, and decide whether we want to do JW Backhoe, or you want to do, well, go out to competitive bid, if there's a donation, whatever, but get started on the force account work, and we'll get to the competitive work or donated work at the next meeting.
And whether or not we even want to remove that asphalt,
right.
Well, I'm not even sure that's the direction to go at this point, because that's not the biggest problem we have out there, and that's not where we get the most complaints from the people I've talked to, and based on that reliable source next door, that's not the biggest complaints that we get. It's really about the lack of grass, some of the burrs, and the wet area. I think I forwarded some stuff to you on that, And so I just, let's address the stuff that we can do ourselves. Is that kind of what you're recommending, Director?
That was what I was suggesting.
Yeah, I would like to see us move forward with renovating it to the best of our ability without addressing that asphalt situation at this point.
I'd like to just say, I think the asphalt, I went and looked at it, and that's a large chunk of asphalt in the middle of Dunn Park, which is not conducive for dumps going on doing it.
It's
got to go. I don't even think we'd consider that taking the asphalt down.
Yeah. Well, there you have
The best approach for our group doing the work is probably start with the small dog park and the upper east side of the large dog park. We can do those two areas without interfering with the asphalt area, and then when the decision is made, final decision is made for the asphalt, then we'll either deal with renovating that last piece or taking care of that whole piece.
So if I understand this, then your staff would go out, take care of all the weed issues, fence off the area that needs to be fenced off.
Yes.
And then we could come back at a later date, decide about asphalt removal, sodding, or seeding, or whatever we're going to do with the other.
Yes.
I think also the benefit of that is it reduces the size of the project, which might reduce the size of the cost. Okay.
In addition, I think it should be brought back to the committee.
I just need some clarity.
I don't think we want to go back to the committee, because one thing that's missing is where the money's coming from, it sounds like. So yes, that should be discussed in the second committee.
Probably discussed with the finance committee, too.
Parks.
They, and they'll bring the recommendation back to us.
Okay.
But let's do it sooner than later, though.
Yeah.
Because we're getting to the point where this is the time when we want to do it. You know, you have a schedule based on seasons and such, so let's get on it.
Okay, so for clarity, at one point we were talking about closing the dog park October 1st and reopening it April 1st. What is
that? Would be partial now. The small dog park would be closed, and the upper east side of the large dog park would be closed, but the main area, they'll just have to come in with the dogs.
Okay, we'll put out notice for that when we do it.
I was going to say, communication is the big thing here. Getting it out on the website, getting it out on wherever we can, whatever pages we have available to us through social media. The important thing is to communicate this to the people that use the park the best we can, posting notices and that type of thing, and so they can go someplace else if they want to. But I got to tell you that this park gets used more than other. I've stopped at other dog parks when I'm out, and we get more traffic here than they do in Brentwood, some of their dog parks.
It's used every day. I see it when I come to work.
There's a whole contingency.
But for clarity, we will begin with this process, but if I understand correctly, Virgil will approach JW Backo. When we get an answer for him, if necessary, I'll then have legal look into it, and then we'll have an answer for you on that at a later time.
With guidance from legal, because I don't know which comes first, the cart or the horse.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Thanks, Frank.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and post it. We won't start until October 1st. That gives people a chance to adjust to what we're doing.
And actually putting signs up at the dog park would be a good start, too.
Sooner than later.
Actual users will see it.
Yeah. No, we're ready to go.
We are making your dog park better. That's how it should start. Thanks, Brian.
I'll cut the weeds next door.
Yeah, get the speeders too. Okay, manager's reports. Is any Virgil, you have any importance? Matt's been up. Brian's been up. General manager's report. Oh, director's report, excuse me. Any reports from?
I attended the Contra Costa County Treasury Advisory Board. Amazing what they do with $3.5 billion, looks like. They only have $3.5 billion.
Right.
They think they're going to make
billion. Are they looking for
billion?
Are they looking for suggestions?
I asked, but they didn't. They didn't offer.
They didn't offer.
Are they interested?
We have some really neat kids that want a new pool. we had a water wastewater committee meeting, didn't we, since the last meeting, Joe?
I believe we did. There was an update.
Yeah, we discussed the master plan, moving forward with the master plan, and really that's Justin, I think. General manager report.
No report.
Legal.
No report.
Okay. Any future agenda items at this point? Hearing none. Meeting adjourned.